everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It's Monday night, December 1st, and it's time for our tradition here at Mega Powers Radio. We go live for the Raw Post Show, the most interactive post-Raw experience available, where we want to hear what you all out there have to say about the show in addition to our own thoughts. We got the chat room open for y'all to speak in, and of course, we'll be having the phone lines open up for all of you to call in, get your voices heard here on Mega Powers Radio. But first, let me introduce the panelists we got here. With me is Steven Huego of Unanimous Decision MMA. What's shaking, Steven?
Not much. Unfortunately, not this roar either.
And the leader of the Drew crew, Mr. Drew White.
Hey, 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 and Raw. Yeah. Ooh. Touchdown.
Thank
you. Yeah. You're welcome. Insight.
And also showing up late to the party, I think I got him here. Mr. Tony Mango. Tony, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
First league, I'm professional.
Gang's all here. So, fellas, I guess this is the part where I tell you guys, I didn't watch Raw.
What? The post show? Without the host hosting it?
Yeah, I didn't watch a damn lick of this Raw. Part of it was because I got a brand new PS4 today. Came in the mail, finally.
Wait, was it the one my dad bought you?
Yes, it was, actually, matter of fact. Thank you very much, Mr. White. But also because I just didn't really have much of an interest. I felt absolutely no reason to have to tune in. And the only thing I was mildly interested in seeing was maybe a little bit of the anonymous GM stuff, but I can't imagine that really panned out to anything that I feel like I missed. And I want you guys to tell me. Like I usually ask you if there's anything you took away. So let me ask you, is there anything you took away that made this Raw worth watching?
Let me put it this way. Do you know how kids say everything's gay when they don't like something?
Yes.
This Raw was gay.
Drew, would you feel the same way?
I wouldn't say gay necessarily, but I don't know. This Raw was Raw. And I feel like they are really trying hard to push Eric Rowan into a baby face with the, but I don't know. They mentioned he has an IQ of 142. You missed that part.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Tony, what about it?
This was such a bad episode of Raw that I fell asleep, woke up, and decided to turn around not facing the TV and fell asleep again instead of like, oh, I should get up and, you know, make sure I don't fall asleep again. So I missed a good chunk of this episode of Raw from how boring it was. You made the right decision, not even bothering to watch it.
So with that, I guess we don't have anything to talk about with Raw. So if you tuned into this episode to hear us talk about the events and match-by-match breakdown of the Monday Night Raw for December 1st, 2014 – sorry, folks, you're going to have to tune in somewhere else because this show is going to start taking a nosedive into other directions very quickly. I want to at least keep it wrestling related for a little bit, and I have a little bit of a plan here with this. This is a huge, huge topic. It's still really fresh, and I feel like it's something that people would be very interested in hearing our thoughts about it. So I thought, why not dedicate the first bit of this show to discussing it, and I'm sure everyone knows where I'm going with this. Ryback finally finds himself a big stack of pancakes.
Damn it.
See? Yeah. Right. You know
what I'm big going. Hungry.
Yeah. Cookie Monster is on another guy's podcast. Oh, I'm still not getting there, right, am I? CM Punk. Yeah, he had an interview on the Art of Wrestling podcast with Colt Cabana. Caused a stir. You talk about Kim Kardashian break the internet. I'm pretty sure CM Punk's interview broke the internet. Everyone's got an opinion about it. Drew couldn't even wait to try to get his in. He can't even let me finish doing the damn introduction before trying to shovel it in. People are passionate about this, as if they weren't already passionate enough about the CM Punk situation. A lot of new, I wouldn't call them details, I wouldn't call them facts, but certainly a lot of new words were added to this. And as we're speaking, Vince McMahon is doing a live edition of the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast on the WWE Network, something I'm a little upset myself that I'm missing, but I'm certainly going to go back and look for later, which may reveal the other side of what someone thinks about this situation, which I'm definitely want to see. But for what we know now off of all this, I guess the first thing I want to ask you guys is, has this persuaded your thoughts of the situation at all, or are you still sitting in the same spot?
Well, for me, I've always taken the attitude that CM Punk's an independent contractor, and if he doesn't want to wrestle, you can't make him wrestle. Simple as. But with the new information that has been brought to us, at least from CM Punk's standpoint, is, man, they let that guy wrestle out there with fucking Mercer. You don't do that. So.
It's Mercer.
Whatever. Either way, that guy was sick. He could have infected the entire roster. And he was just treated poorly from a health standpoint. So take all the other politics out of it. You put a sick man out there and endangered his life. And not just his life, but anyone out there who worked with him multiple times. So fuck WWE.
Now, here's the question. Do we think that they purposely was putting him out there? I mean, for the longest time, he was saying the doctor thought it was just some fatty deposits. And while a misdiagnosis should not be tolerated, it's not like they're like, oh, you got a staph infection. Who cares? Get out there, Punk. Do your damn job.
The fact that he kept bringing it back up to him and bringing it back up to him, if that's true, then that's fucking ridiculous. And the fact that he said that he went to another doctor and he just looked at it and said, okay, you've got a staph infection, which means it's very fucking obvious. So either CM Punk's lying, the doctor is incompetent, or fuck, I don't know.
Well, if CM Punk was so damn concerned over this, as he acts like he is, why didn't he go to another doctor sooner? If he thought this doctor was such an idiot, I mean, even WWE has more than one doctor, why didn't he go consult Jackson Andrews or whatever the fuck his name is?
I think that's the biggest gap in this whole story I just don't understand why he didn't do that. And that's a valid point, and I've got no argument for it whatsoever. The only thing I can imagine, the reason why he actually worked for all of this, is just that wrestler mentality of, you got to keep going out there and doing your thing, but comes a time where you have to say enough's enough. So there's fault on CM Punk for not seeing the doctor sooner, no doubt, but I don't know.
I saw that when the Doom's in the chat room, he says, I realized I missed the beginning. I don't know if Raw was still going. I just kind of started the show when it felt right. Raw could have still been going. I'm sorry if I got started before Raw finished its overrun. If you are just joining us here live on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, we are not talking about Raw on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. We are instead currently talking about the CM Punk interview and the whole situation with that, and I'm sure we'll go into other things as well. But yeah, whatever you got to say, though, we still want to hear you say it, even if it is about Raw, if it's about the CM Punk situation, or hell, open forum tonight, whatever the hell you want to talk about. Get yourself in line. We already got three callers waiting patiently. Can't wait to get them on. We're going to open those phone lines in just a few more minutes. Area code 760-512-7247. Of course, shout outs to the people in the chat room. Five times combo. Ferris 419. Wazilian Silent Wind of Doom. Silent Wind of Doom says, can I talk about SmackDown? I don't think we're going to talk about SmackDown. No, I'm sorry. So continuing around to the rest of you guys, though, Drew, has your opinion changed about this at all?
My opinion before this was mainly, yeah, he left. I don't care because he's not there. So it was kind of the mentality that he could do whatever he wants. But I believe in his contract, he could opt out at any time if I'm correct. Is that right?
I don't think it's so much he could just end the contract whenever he wants.
Yeah.
But
as an independent contractor, you can never be forced to wrestle and put your body on the line out there. That's what it comes down to.
Exactly.
If you choose to not do that, then they have the right to either freeze your contract, suspend your contract, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, if they can't force you, but they can punish you for not doing it. I mean, they can't completely, like, handcuff you and drag you out to the ring, but, I mean, they can take your push away, they can penalize you, they can fine you, so there's a lot of stuff they can do.
Well, there's a few things that came across my mind, like you guys mentioned already. If he had the staph infection and he was wrestling it for a while, then why, and he knew about it or thought he did or something along those lines, then why did he continue wrestling or why didn't he consult another doctor along that kind of stuff? That's the main thing I took away from all of it. And at the end of the day, he still left and he doesn't plan on coming back. So I really don't care about CM Punk per se. I didn't really listen to the interview. I'm going by what I've heard other people talk about it. I've listened to people talk about it on the internet. That says something. I don't want to listen to CM Punk talk about it at this point. I'm completely fine with listening to other people describe to me what happens. I really don't care about CM Punk anymore. And I know people are going to defend CM Punk the day he dies. Like, oh my God, WWE's the worst. Well, you're going to still tune in regardless. So it's not that big of a deal to me at the very end of the day.
I'm not tuning in.
I think was it because of CM Punk or were you just tuning in for that PS4? What games did you end up getting for that PS4, by the way?
Well, it was bundled with Grand Theft Auto 5 and The Last of Us Remastered, and I have WWE 2K15 coming in the mail.
Okay, have you put GTA 5 yet on it?
Yeah, a little bit. Checked out that first-person mode. Pretty sweet. But let's get Tony's thoughts on here on this one. I mean, I can't remember where you laid on this going into it, but after hearing this interview, are you swayed at all?
I didn't listen to the interview. I don't plan on really listening to it because I kind of had a feeling that any real important points probably would have been passed around the internet. People would have been like, Punk mentioned this and he said that and whatever, and the rest of it's probably just going to be like Scotty Goldman laughing at stupid things that he says himself and, you know, nonsense like that. But I went into the whole Punk situation kind of thinking that both people were, or both sides, I should say, were at fault for different things. And it seems like I'm just kind of reiterated with that. I got a feeling that Punk is one of those guys where you're like, the guilty people tend to talk more and make a bigger fuss about a lot of different things. And you can always see people that if they did something wrong in part of an argument, a lot of people think if they spit a bunch of venom about the other side and, well, they did this and they did that and they did that and they did that, that it makes their part of the problem not as big. And I got a feeling that Punk's one of those guys. So, yeah, maybe they had him wrestle in a situation where he shouldn't have, but maybe they thought that it was just, you know, a fatty deposit. And I'm pretty sure that the way that WWE operates, they're dumb more often than they are purposely malicious. Mm. And with the mistakes that they make that seem like they're doing something to be like a fuck you to certain people or whatever, sometimes they are, clearly, like, you know, the Zack Ryder situation when he got punished for being pushed. You could tell that something was fucking up there. And they were just kind of like, well, we don't care. We're going to give in a little bit, but then we're going to pull a rug and just be like, no, this isn't what we want. But at the same time, you know, equating it to that scenario, they think stupidly that they can do things and get away with it. You know, they thought that they could transfer the popularity of Zack Ryder onto John Cena by having the two in a feud together. And, you know, trying to be like, well, why don't the fans cheer John Cena? Sometimes they'll probably have somebody go out there and wrestle because they think it's a fatty deposit and turns out that they're wrong. And they didn't think that there was that much of a situation where they had a negative medical problem that they could get in trouble for. I'm sure if the doctors looked at that and went, yo, this dude might have like a staph infection, they wouldn't be like, yeah, but we really need to have him go wrestle Curtis Axel tonight, squash match in the live event or something, you know? I got a feeling Punk is flapping his wings or flapping his trap or I don't know, whatever the fucking phrase is, about a lot of bullshit, and some of it's made up and a lot of it's blown out of proportion and some of it's legitimate. And WWE probably their shots to fire back are going to say, this isn't real, this isn't real, fuck CM Punk. No matter what, I'm sure WWE did some douchebag things, and I'm sure Punk acted like a complete asshole. And it's hard to deal with somebody in an organization if they think that they are above the organization. Thankfully, we haven't had to deal with that too many times when it comes to, like, the people that we work with. Or at least, you know, I haven't for, like, the web network kind of stuff. But I'm sure CM Punk, the way that he acts, the attitude that he brings to the table, and everything that he is ever seen in, he probably thought that he deserved special treatment, and even the littlest things rubbed him the wrong way, and he acted like a douche, you know?
I have not listened to this interview, because in this interview, he states all that. There's lots of times where he talks about how he's at the same level of The Rock and Brock Lesnar, and he deserves all the same things that they get.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say he said that words, but he very much so has the Bret Hart mentality.
Yeah. He does not deserve whatever The Rock deserves. I will say that much.
No, not at all. He's not even Bret Hart category either. Bret Hart was the top guy in the company for a couple years, and he's damn sure better respected all around than CM Punk is. Punk's got a lot of good stuff to him. I mean, he was good, but no, you're not. As much as I don't like Brock Lesnar, and I don't like The Rock popping up once in a while and doing their kind of thing or whatever, there is no argument whatsoever that he is on the same star power as somebody like that. Was he like the same as fucking Austin? No.
He insisted he should be paid as much as The Rock, and he should be entitled to the same things that Brock Lesnar did. And whether you want to say that's not the way his words were, that's pretty much exactly what he said.
Yeah, so he went into it expecting to get that kind of stuff, and when he isn't treated like that, then he acts out. And then the way that a lot of people do that in life, if they're a pain in the ass and they don't get what they want and they act like a douchebag and people don't just bend to their will, then the other people are even more at fault, you know? Like, this is a really bitter thing to bring up, but, like, you ever have that kind of girlfriend where she gets mad at you because she is mad that you aren't just not mad at her?
No, I don't date psychos.
Well, thankfully, I don't anymore either. But there's plenty of people out there, men too, but, you know, it works more for women.
So she's not mad.
She's not mad.
She's not mad.
I don't get it.
I don't eat cheese.
Okay. Well, I got a few more topics relating to this that I want to get into. But I think we should open up the phone lines to our first caller. I think
we don't want to do that.
Yeah, sure we do. I'm going to pick one out of here. We got a caller from the 267 area code. We'll try to bring them on. Caller from 267, you are live on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Brian. I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Brian from Pennsylvania. How you doing, Brian? What you think about what you think about what's going on out there? What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about CM Punk. I'm largely sympathetic to him because the way I see it, you have a billion-dollar publicly traded company that classifies their wrestlers as independent contractors, but they have to sign contracts. And there's basically they're told they're not allowed to work for anybody else. They still don't have health insurance or a pension program. And they get away with a lot of things because it's wrestling. And so nobody takes wrestling seriously. So nobody ever says, you know what, maybe we ought to look into the fact that they've had have real regulation because they've had all these deaths in wrestling. They get away with an awful lot because it's wrestling and because nobody wants to take it seriously. And, one thing he pointed out in that interview that was very legitimate is the drug testing policy. You can't tell me that the drug testing policy is legitimate when you have people like Triple H, The Rock, Brock Lesnar, and Ryback looking the way they look. It's an insult to my intelligence for anybody to suggest that those guys are clean. And the reality is, because it's basically a monopoly business, you either work in the WWF and make a living there, or you really have no place else to go, especially with the tenuous situation in TNA. So, and I think what we've seen, too, and people were predicting this, after WCW collapsed, the wrestlers' percent of the gross profits have gone down. I've heard the percent for the wrestlers of the gross profits is as low as 8% now. Well, that's despite the fact that this is the most successful wrestling company in history. So I have a lot of sympathy for him. I think he has an inflated opinion of just how big of a draw he actually was. But I'd be willing to bet my house on it that the guy was being underpaid and the wrestlers are being underpaid. So I really take issue with the fact that I don't think the WWE pays their wrestlers properly. There's no union. They still don't have health insurance. They don't have a pension plan. And you're talking about a $1 billion publicly traded company. So I think that the wrestlers, I don't think they're treated fairly. I think it's still that old carny mentality, and they want to ride them until they drop. And somebody, one of you guys suggested that a lot of what they do is not out of maliciousness, but out of stupidity. Well, I think a lot of what they do because they know they can get away with it. Because, again, because it's wrestling. And, you know, nobody, you know, in the media or any kind of investigative journalism is really going to take it seriously. You had a little bit after the whole Benoit situation, but that's the idea. And again,
let's not forget Donahue in the 90s when he attacked Vince McMahon on the air about the sexual assault scandals.
And you had for a brief period of time a legitimate drug policy, and then after that blew over, after a while, the drug policy went away. And you had the Benoits and the Guerreros and people like that. And even after the whole Benoit situation, are there less people using? Yeah. But the boss's son-in-law is clearly juiced up to the gills. And one of the things he pointed out in the interview was when he asked Triple H if he was using or not, or if he, excuse me, if he was being drug tested or not, he didn't answer the question. Now, he didn't answer the question because it's clear he's not being drug tested because it's impossible for anybody to look that way if they're natural. So, you know, you tell me, again, the wrestlers are classified as independent contractors, but they sign contracts.
Not only do you have so many people on there that is, you'd have to be foolish to believe that they aren't on some kind of enhancement on there, like you said, your Triple H's, your Rybacks, but we know for a fact that they have this clause in there that allows people to get a strike taken away so that you have people like Randy Orton have a safe net. And I'm sure there are other people who are going to be able to take advantage of that down the line too. So it pretty much makes the whole thing a sham. If you're not going to have those three strikes be what takes somebody out, why even have strikes at all? Why even have a policy at all at that point?
Well, and so here's my next point. So if they have a drug testing policy, which clearly has loopholes that you can drive a Mack truck through, and the future owner of the company doesn't have to take the drug test, and they basically allow key wrestlers to take dangerous illegal performance-enhancing drugs, then why should we believe that they wouldn't allow wrestlers to go out there and work with debilitating injuries? I mean, here's another example. Remember WrestleMania 19 when Angle's neck was – he was almost a half cripple, and they let him go out there anyway? And when Austin's last match, when his neck was a wreck? I mean, come on. This company has a history. Dynamite Kid, you know, I mean, they have a history – of putting wrestlers out there with serious injuries, you know, and they do it because they can get away with it. So, and why should we believe anything's changed? And again, if they're going to let them take dangerous, illegal performance-enhancing drugs, I don't think it's unreasonable to then assume to then make a strong argument that if they're going to allow that, then they're going to also allow the wrestlers to work with concussions and other injuries. And just because they have doctors now. Well, what does that mean? They had doctors in the NFL for years allowing the football players to go out there with concussions and injuries. And there were football players saying for years that the team doctors, what they were trying to do was get the players out there as quickly as possible rather than working in the best interest of the football players. And that only changed when you had enough media scrutiny. Well, wrestling doesn't have that kind of media scrutiny. I think it's very naive to think that, you know, the WWF somehow, you know, the McMahon's benevolent. He is the wrestler's best interest at heart, and he would never maliciously do anything. He would, and he would do it because he can get away with it. And if I'm wrong, for wrestlers, it's so much wrestlers, so much lower than football players, baseball players, basketball players, actors, entertainers, etc. And why don't they have health insurance? Why don't they have a pension program? So, you know, CM Punk could be working everybody, but he's got
health insurance. Or pension plans. I'm pretty sure most sports stars don't get health insurance or pension plans either. They're all required to pay for that out of their own money as well.
No, because they have unions in football and baseball and basketball, and they have a Screen Actors Guild union, they get a lot of their medical costs paid for.
Not many people are in SAG, though. Not many people are that fortunate to be a part of that organization.
Well, but I'm trying to make a point of comparison. I mean, what can you
right.
do? Because
well,
wrestling,
well,
sports, and entertainment. So comparing it to sports and entertainment genre.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, let's look at that then. Could that be something that could be implemented when, I mean, wrestling is so sparse across where it is. I mean, you have your WWE, but then outside of that, you got your organizations in Japan, you got your independent stuff. At what point do you regulate, and how far deep do you regulate it? Like, do you have to make an NWA again that's going to regulate every single wrestling organization, and WWE would have to be scrutinized by them? Is that the road we'd have to go down to fix a problem with this?
Well, the problem is you need a union, but you're not going to get a union because the wrestlers will never do it because they're all afraid they're going to get fired, and they're vying for a handful of top spots, and you have basically a monopoly. But if you had a union, their percent of the profits would be 40% to 50% like the other four major sports, instead of, from what I've heard, less than 10%. You know, and they'd have health insurance, and they wouldn't have this independent contractor status, which is ridiculous. If you're an independent contractor, then if you're an independent contractor, you shouldn't have to exclusively work for a company, which is basically what they're doing when they work for WWE. So, I mean, come on, you know, I mean, look, I love wrestling too. I love wrestling, mm-hmm. but, you know, I mean, it's what it is. The wrestlers are not taken care of the way they should be. They are not. Yeah. Do they work? Are they all vying for positions? Do they, you know, lie and manipulate? They do, but nearly what they deserve. And they go out there and they work through all kinds of different injuries that anybody else, any other kind of sport or entertainment genre at this point wouldn't be working through. And they do it because they have absolutely no leverage.
All right, Brian, you got a lot of opinions out there. We appreciate it, though, man. We're going to have to move on to another caller. We got a few more on the line. We appreciate you calling in, man, though. Please call again any other week, though. Have a good night, man.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
No problem, man. Take care, dude. All right, guys. Lots of stuff getting out there for Brian. I think he brings up a lot of good points. I don't know if I agree with him necessarily that wrestlers are not being paid enough. I think wrestlers are making amazing money. I don't know about this whole percentage thing, but I know wrestlers in the 70s did not have buses.
All I'm going to say is it depends what point of the card you're on. If you're a mid-carder, it's tough living because there's a lot of expenditures that you have on the road. And Daniel Bryan has already come out and said he wasn't making any money until he got to the main event. He made just enough to do his job.
Drew? Anything?
I'm trying to think. Well, when it came to the whole part of other sports, he did nail that head on. Because of their unions, they don't have to really pay for too much when it comes to health insurance because they have all these trainers. Each team has like all the trainers and stuff they need, which is also weird because they make a lot more money than wrestlers do at the same time. So if wrestlers don't have any type of health insurance plan, I feel like if anything, they should because they don't make as much. And if you have a serious injury, I don't know, some type of neck surgery or like you break your back and you can't wrestle anymore, essentially you lose your source of income and you have to pay for that out of your pocket if that's the case, which would suck. So I don't know all about the wrestling side, but I know from other sports side.
I do have one more comment on wrestler pay, and that is you set your own value. Much how you can agree or disagree how much CM Punk thinks he's worth, but at the end of the day, you set your own value, and I can respect that from him. And at the same time, those guys on the mid-card, the reason they're not making as much money is because they're not doing enough to sell themselves. You can blame that on WWE or them, but the reality of it is you set your own value, and you're only going to get as much as you demand.
That's a good point. And CM Punk signed that contract when he went in there, so how much can he get upset? One of the other things that he kept bringing up in his time there, in his final days, and he brought up on this podcast, is he was extremely worried about wrestler payouts with the WWE Network starting. And that's mm-hmm. still a good question. And as far as everyone knows, that's still up in the air. No one knows how these wrestlers are being paid from pay-per-views involving the WWE Network. They're used to that being a major, major payday for them on pay-per-views with getting the bonus from that. And now with the reduced rate of the WWE Network, how could they pay that amount? And now, even with just Survivor Series passing being free for majority of the audience that watched it, I can't imagine anybody got a decent payday on that. Maybe that's why the pay-per-view sucked. I don't know. What do you guys got to say about that?
I have no idea how they're handling that, because the wrestlers should know by now, because from what I understand, it's either every 3 or 4 months that the wrestlers get paid for all their pay-per-views. So I'm surprised. I'd imagine they would have had to tackle that situation by now. I mean, Punk left right before the network really took off. Well, I don't think there was actually an event on the network where he was still with the company.
Nope.
So he wouldn't really know about those payouts. You'd have to ask a guy that's still in the company.
Anyone have anything else?
As flawed as WWE is, and I'm sure that there's a lot of mistakes that they're making and they're going to continue to make and all that, that CM Punk is trying to make himself a martyr. And I don't want the idea that he could be right about a lot of stuff to mean that he's right about everything. And a lot of people might get caught up in that. Just because somebody is a martyr to a situation doesn't mean that they're a saint. And he could have been screwed over in this way or that way or whatever. But, you know, if you have a couple negatives on your side, too, they shouldn't be ignored. Just the same as the positives on WWE shouldn't be ignored, or the negatives on either side. I mean, fair is fair. Everybody, like, the things WWE screwed up, they should be held accountable for. The positive things, they shouldn't be discredited for. And the same thing for Punk. You know, if he ran into a situation where he was forced to wrestle and he knows that he shouldn't have, then by all means, he shouldn't have wrestled. But there's also, you know, the loudest talkers are oftentimes the ones that don't have as much to talk about. And you can see that when it comes to people complaining about different TV shows and movies, and then the box office receipts are amazing. Or you can see that about how on the internet everybody hates every fucking thing about wrestling. I'm sure we're going to get to that a little bit later on with certain callers. But if you continue to watch it, then you have no right to bitch and complain as much. And CM Punk, he really strikes me as one of those guys that you could have 10 things that he's talking about, and maybe 5 of the arguments he's right and 5 of them he's wrong, and he'll only talk about the 5 that he's right. So I wouldn't think anybody would be better served listening to whatever he says on this podcast and assuming that it's 100% the truth and that WWE's lying and stuff, just the same as I would assume any WWE representative wouldn't be holding some things back and doing that. So, I don't know. Both sides are fucking stupid some ways.
What he did?
What?
What?
Ryback's tweet thingy McBobber. I don't know.
Ryback's tweet was the best part of this whole thing. The picture of him with the multiple figures.
I saw that. I heard a lot of people talking that was stupid of him to do that. I don't understand why that was stupid. He was defending the company he works at.
I think it was more to do with them people worried that he's drawing attention to the situation, a situation WWE doesn't want broadcast.
Probably that's the case. Well, it's like this. Punk whined the whole time he was in WWE. That's well recorded, and I guarantee you he whined up until the day he left. So if he's going to whine, then just get the fuck out of wrestling. It's that simple, and you're not going to get your way with everything.
And he admitted he was whining and said basically I'm going to fuck off, and then he quit wrestling, so you got what you wanted.
Well, he wanted to be the leader of change. He wanted to be a guy to help represent the boys, and now he's just not going to do that. Now just because he's not happy and he doesn't want to do the fight anymore, he's just going to walk out?
Well, technically he got fired.
He quit.
Okay, hold on. He got his papers on his wedding day, and he can say all he wants about that, but you know what? He wouldn't have gotten fired if he didn't walk out. He quit first before he got fired. In fact, after he quit, he was surprised when he got a call from Vince asking him to come back to work. So how can he possibly act like it's a surprise that he got fired? And this was even after Triple H tried to talk to him, supposedly, and he told him to fuck off because he was getting ready for his wedding day.
Well, he's never said that he told him to fuck off. He said that he would speak to him once he gets back from his honeymoon, which is fair enough.
But
my attitude on that is, what Punk led us to believe is, well, and this might be total bullshit, he made it sound as if there was consideration of him coming back. So that's my take from it. He got fired. They didn't speak to him when he said he'd speak to them. So,
but how much you want that he isn't wording things the way that happened negatively on his side too? How many people, when they talk about different arguments that happened between them and somebody else, go, and then I said really nicely, I'll call you back later. And if you actually listen back to the tapes, they go, fuck off, I'll call you when I want, or something like that. You know, everybody is a better they come out better looking on their own perspective than what they really do, because nobody ever thinks that they're the villain. And I believe it was Road Dogg. He supposedly had like that big back and forth on Twitter with a couple of fans and stuff. And, you know, the topic of the wedding is brought up, of getting the papers on the wedding day. Well, CM Punk was secretive as fuck about it. What if nobody in WWE knew when the hell the wedding day was? Can't be their fault, you know? That's kind of like if I were to shoot somebody a text message and say, like, you know, you haven't gotten back to me, what's up? Are we hanging out later? And they went, well, I've been asleep. Why did you message me? Well, you didn't fucking tell me you were asleep. How am I supposed to know? You know?
Well, they knew he was getting married. He said that in the text message, apparently. Again, as I've been saying, it could all be bullshit for all I know. We don't know how much is truth, but
yeah.
I don't see a reason for him to lie after he's just been silent this whole time. So, I don't know.
He's been silent this whole time because he was getting all the legal stuff taken care of to get his
mouth. Oh, yeah, he did say he fired that nasty lawyer, didn't he?
Yeah, so he was just keeping his mouth shut for the time being. Now that he's got his money, now he can talk all the shit he wants.
Clever girl.
Yeah. So one topic he did bring up there, we touched on it for a second, he called out Ryback a lot. Like, he dogged this guy. He called him messy, stiff. He said he's injured him a number of times. He hated working with him, and to the point where Vince McMahon had to, like, pretty much ask him to do him a favor to work with Ryback both times. What do you guys think about that? Because, I mean, we've all been becoming big fans of Ryback now, and to have someone like Punk come out and just dog this guy like this, what the fuck?
If he is unsafe and he's injuring people other than CM Punk, then they're definitely going to have to do something with him eventually, because you can't just allow this guy to, you know, he is getting over to an extent, but if he's injuring people, putting people's, not lives, but maybe their careers at risk, then they definitely got to do something. But until other people speak out about it, possibly, I don't know if anyone will, cause unless they leave the country, or not the country, the company, the country do, but I mean, unless they leave the company, I don't expect many people to really speak out that Ryback is this big bad guy. But listen, he's the big guy, so I'll believe it when if he can prove it, or if other people come out and speak about it.
Any other Ryback defenders?
I'm not going to defend him, but I'm not going to say anything bad about him, because I've not heard anyone else say negatives about Ryback as far as getting hurt by him. There's only two guys in this company that I know are dangerous to work with. You don't let Miz catch you if you do a dive, and you don't wrestle Jack Swagger.
And also, if Del Rio was still around, he was stiff as hell too.
No
one complained about him.
He beat up Sin Cara. Here's the thing: you can be stiff without hurting people. Like, you come out of it sore of the match. Apparently, Sheamus is one of the stiffest guys back there. But if you're hurting people, it's a different thing. I've never heard a bad word about Ryback, only ever Jack Swagger and The Miz on the current roster.
Yeah, it's not like AJ Styles or anything.
And, you know, this could also be, I'm not going to say CM Punk is like this. Yeah, I get it. But, you know, like, CM Punk could just easily be trying to take someone down with him if he's going to go down. So that could also be something as well. I don't think he would do that, something like that. But you got to consider all possibilities that maybe he just had his own vendetta with Ryback, or maybe he just didn't like the guy, and that's why he's saying something like this. Punk, even though Punk will like to tell the truth, I do believe that at some point he's either exaggerating, or he will just come up with something for the purpose of making himself look better out of all this, which he doesn't need to. He left the company, and now he's on to doing whatever the hell he's doing now. Good for him. So we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think that he's probably blowing that a little bit out of proportion too. He probably just doesn't like Ryback. Because if Ryback was that bad, we'd be hearing a lot of other scuttlebutt. We'd be seeing him not get any pushes. He would have been fired. You know, at a certain point, even WWE would kind of just cut the guy loose if he was so fucking bad. They didn't keep around Manu for long. They didn't keep around Bam Neely, you know, like, so Ryback's got to be at least good enough to get the seal of approval from more than enough people that it renders the whole thing kind of moot. But, I don't know.
Guys, they've kept.
Like who?
Like
who's been guaranteed as like a really, oh my God, I can't possibly work with this guy because he's so unsafe kind of a thing. Like Miz has had some issues in the past, like with catching people and stuff, but that could just be like one thing that he's really not that good at, and everybody's flawed at something. CM Punk isn't perfect either. And
how the fuck can he be flawed at standing there?
I don't know.
It's like Miz. Listening to fucking Evan Bourne's shoot interview the other day. Apparently that guy can't catch anyone for shit.
Well, you know, maybe it's because he's so small that they just land on him.
Bigger than the big fucking Evan Bourne.
Well, imagine if the Big Show landed on Evan Bourne. I feel like Evan Bourne would snap in half like Yoshitatsu did.
Well, so. One other guy that CM Punk decided to call out, and it was he was talking about the night the Nexus debuted, and he said he had just gotten eye surgery that night, and he was talking about how there was pretty much bad communication in WWE, and nobody in the Nexus knew not to touch CM Punk in the eyes. He was pretty like, oh, there was this one fucker. He just kept gouging me in the eyes, motherfucker. And some great internet sleuths out there decided to research that night, and who would it be that was gouging out CM Punk's eyes that night but Daniel Bryan?
The guy who got fired in the first place. I feel like it doesn't matter now. It's awesome that it's Bryan out of all people.
It's just, it was, I mean, it's just funny because you know it would have been easy if that was like Michael Tarver or if it was Ryback, how much people would have just been burning up and hating him. But because it's Daniel Bryan, the internet darling, and
what do you know about? He's the golden child. Daniel Bryan would never do anything wrong. He would never hurt anyone. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like, that could be a double standard, but also, at the same time, he might just be saying that to say that. But actually, I probably believe Punk on that. If someone ever brought that up to Bryan, or someone brings that up that Bryan's a golden child, I guess you'll just have to slap him in the face.
You don't need proof of it. There's a fucking photo of him breaking his eyes. And that isn't Daniel Bryan's fault. That's WWE's
communication. I'm sure no one told Bryan, hey, Punk's eyes just got had surgery, so avoid them. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, I'll show you. And we go out there.
I'm going to stick my fingers in his eyes, and I'm going to choke Justin Roberts.
He's like, wait, we just went through old school Raw. We just did the slammies. The gimmick of this paper or this episode of Raw is opposite day, right? So go straight for the eyes. Done. Where's that tie?
Silent Wind of Doom. So I went to Doom in the chat room saying, he's a goat. You can't gouge eyes with hooves, you fool.
He raises a good point.
Indeed. All right, guys, why don't we bring on another caller? We haven't had one on here in a little bit. Let's bring on caller from the 540 area code. Never know what surprises might come from here. Who's calling us from 540 tonight?
What's your name, scumbag?
Andrew.
My name is Alberto Del Rio, but you already knew that.
Do you like that name?
No, it's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
But now I need to go for pile.
That might be a better name. Yeah, I could go with that.
Well, there's one thing that you won't like, Gomer Pyle. They don't serve fried chicken and watermelon on a daily basis in my mess hall. Gotcha.
All right. Well, that was that.
I get it. It's 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Oh, well, we'll never know who that was now.
It was not Vincent D'Onofrio.
It was what?
Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, okay. We got him back. All right, we got him back.
Got
what's up,
guys?
You got us.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all good.
It's okay, guys.
You should. I mean, how many times are you going to keep playing tricks on us? At least you apologize.
I don't know. I better stop that.
Hey. Yeah.
Better stop.
It's okay, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are y'all doing tonight?
Tremendous, man. We're mostly talking about CM Punk tonight. We pretty much avoided the topic of Raw, but what's on your mind?
I think I should talk about CM Punk, too, instead of Monday Night Raw, being it was a lackluster event of a show. I guess we do have to talk about CM Punk a little bit because, you know, CM Punk was my favorite wrestler from the modern era. And you know, it's what you guys said. You have to provide for your family, and you have to provide to get a job for your children, and you have to provide putting food on the table and provide putting money, and maybe you can just try to be a little bit honest with the boss. I mean, think about it. You know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, he didn't like being in the storyline with Brock Lesnar in 2002, and they fought to make him look weak against Lesnar, so Stone Cold just took his ball and went home, you know?
Yes, he did. All right, now, when he did that, were you hurt? Were you angry?
I was a little bit hurt when Austin left, you know, because I thought no one was going to feel Austin's spot till the Rock came along. And you know what? And when he said Austin can take his ball and go home, and I kind of agreed with The Rock. He did take his ball and went home, you know?
I always thought Austin and
The Rock were always better great athletes, but I always thought The Rock would somewhat be better than Stone Cold, you know?
Well, CM Punk is not either, though, so it's not fair to really compare him. CM Punk is his own man, and he's responsible for his own actions. I mean, a lot of people, for some reason, made comparisons of CM Punk and Stone Cold, and they said that was a dream match at one point. I guess we'll never, ever, ever see that match now.
Yeah, I agree. CM Punk used to, if you think about this, CM Punk's marrying AJ Lee. And AJ, she hasn't been taking a lot of heat from Triple H and Stephanie, you know? Because AJ was the Divas champion, and when AJ and Punk got married, they never punished AJ or anything like that. They never gave AJ a lot of heat, but she was in hot water when CM Punk, when she confronted a reporter who was being rude to CM Punk at the tribute to the troops.
I didn't know that was how that situation went down. I knew that they did have a confrontation.
I think it was last December, probably, last year when they did the showdown, the tribute to the troops.
Huh. I'll be damned.
But we're going to get back on CM Punk, right? Still, I understand Punk leaving, but, you know, you just don't say F off to Triple H. You just try to explain, Triple H just tried to explain to Punk. They needed him, but Punk just didn't want to do it anymore. I mean, think about this. If you were in Punk's situation, what would you do?
I would finish out my contract. And then leave.
And then just retire. But Punk didn't want to do that. He just wanted to be a crybaby and quit. And I kind of agree with Ryback being stiff to work with against Punk. I mean, I don't want to place the blame on Ryback, but I do think if Ryback were to hurt CM Punk, Punk would have told him, like, hey man, I'm hurt. Can you help me? Then Ryback just would shrug him off. I think Ryback's the worst competitor CM Punk's ever faced.
I agree.
I don't know. He faced Elijah Burke. If you ever saw that match, it's pretty fucking horrendous.
Yeah, I saw I saw that match too when Elijah went like this and punched and ow, that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's when were calling a move back at the time.
We got a lot of callers on here, actually. These lines are loading up. Lots of people want to talk about CM Punk, man. So we're going to actually have to move on fast. But I appreciate you calling in every week, Jeff. You have a good night, man. Let's move on to our next caller quickly, actually. We got a caller from 954. Let's bring him on here. Caller from 954, you're on live on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Is this Patrick? Okay.
Dude, you got a call from somebody getting a blowjob. All right.
Just got my dicks. Oh, it was one of the Matadors.
Oh, awesome. I knew that Rose was up to something. Calling a show.
I think that's what it really likes, you know. Oh, they're calling back. Let's see what they got.
It's me. It's me. It's DDP.
Joe,
it's DDP.
Okay, this is Patrick. Patrick, again.
Oh, you got it.
Patrick. It's not Rick.
Or DDP.
How you doing, dude? What's on your mind, man? We've been talking about CM Punk. You got something to say about the topic?
Actually, about CM Punk. I just got the best idea. He probably will never return, but he really needs to come back. He probably won't, but I don't even know if you know what? I'm sure I have a weird feeling that WWE they might just do they'll just erase him from history, you know, sort of the same thing with kind of like what they did to Benoit. Like again, they do the same thing to Punk, cause like you know he erase him from history, you know, and I think another thing about that about Punk is he's always, you know, how there are times where he's actually disrespected the WWE, one of them is walking out after the Royal Rumble, and then there's even once where during a match with John Cena he actually used the band Pile Driver, So that's pretty much the band Pile Driver, and of course, then he starts talking about Vince McMahon and his very epic promo and whatnot. Actually, that is true. Like he used it. I guess John. Really.
There's some awkward silence there. I had to get them out to get the moo in there. What do you think that there's any possibility he could come back? I mean, is there any way? We've seen Hulk Hogan come back. We've seen Brock Lesnar come back. We've seen even Sable come back at one point years ago. Could we see him come back someday?
Actually, this might be the weirdest thing. What if he was the GM? That would be strange, but he probably wasn't. And also, you know what's weird? Yeah, you know, on tonight's Raw, there's the anonymous Raw GM. For some reason, in my mind, I kept thinking Mike Adamly.
That would have been great. I would have loved to see Mike Adamly.
Mike Adamly, you know, Jeff Harvey, that guy.
Jamaican me crazy.
Yeah, Jamaican me crazy, Kofi.
Adamly would have been typing out his messages that he sends to Cole, but having typos in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he should have had typos in it. Yeah, but yeah, also, you know, actually, tonight's show was, I think it was actually okay, because, sometimes I see something, I'm like, what is this? I'm like, so I changed to the football game, and then I go back to see what's going on, and then once again, I'm like, what the hell is this? I changed to the football game again. But I did see through the end. What?
Them football games. I'm not watching any of that shit. I was playing PS4. Patrick, we're probably going to stick to some other calls here. We got 15 freaking callers. I can't believe this night. We're going to have to move on, man. We appreciate you calling, and as always, you have a good night. Oh, goodness. Can't believe we waited this long for this one. We should probably get him in here, but we're going to take a break first. So we'll be back after this.
Attention maggots, this is Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
All right, folks, we are back on Mega Powers Radio with the Raw post show, where we're not talking about Raw. We're pretty much talking about CM Punk all night. And we want to hear what you got to say.
This is the not Raw post show.
This is the not Raw post show. This is the whatever the hell we were talking about tonight show on Mega Powers Radio. If you want to get your thoughts about whatever the hell we're talking about, dial in area code 760-512-7247. That's area code 760-512-7247. Get yourself in line to be heard here on Mega Powers Radio. We also have the chat room scrolling nicely with lots of cool peeps in there. Creepers on the Radar has joined us. Ferris 419, Steven Huego, Smark Out Moment, Mr. Cotter, all of us are in there. Silent Wind of Doom and Wazili. There you go. So, how y'all doing?
You know, I had a day, you know, it was, yeah.
Look how fucking sick.
Yeah. I had,
that sounded like
staff, a staff infection. I don't think he can do the show anymore.
Oh, this doesn't have a staff infection. It's a fatty deposit.
Who did you ask, Dr. Hanukkah Burger?
Let's give him a Z-pack.
Oh, he shit himself.
Pretty soon, the time cow is going to go on some other podcast and bitch and complain about the way that we treated it.
It was all so much of my shit.
Yeah. I had to listen to them talk about Ryback.
Luckily, this week we are not talking about Ferguson. That was last week. You should have been here for that. But if you want a quick rundown of what we think about Ferguson.
White win! White win! Race war's over, everybody! White's won again!
That's terrible.
That's exactly what we think.
And by that, I mean Drew White wins, because that's how good his team is doing in Fantasy League.
I don't know. You still have the lead, Peyton. Don't be shooting yourself down there.
Yeah, I mean, you have Ryback.
Yeah, but I don't have Dolph Ziggler anymore, you know. That shakeup, though.
Well, we'll come back to CM Punk probably, but we do have a good question that I pulled out of the chat room very early in the show, but we got into Punk and then other things. But I guess we can address this for a second because it is something relevant that's going on as well. Five Times Combo out of the chat room asks us, so do you guys think this Dolph Ziggler thing is going to be handled well, or is he just going to be another rider? And my quick answer to that is he's not going to be another rider. He's just going to be Dolph Ziggler again, because that's how it goes for Dolph Ziggler. But do you guys have differing opinions about that?
Something feels different about this push. Before, in the past, they've never really got behind him. Every push has been kind of flaky. So I'm optimistic, but I won't be surprised if it ends in a flop. Zack Ryder is a different case. That was a guy with kind of shitty talent that got over on a YouTube show. Then when he was given the opportunity, he kind of bombed. As much as people want to blame WWE for that, he got main event appearances for a guy that didn't deserve it. And if you ask me, Zack Ryder sucked in everything he did during that time.
Lee, what about the U.S. Championship match with Ziggler? I thought that was actually pretty swell, one might say.
Yeah. Fucking Dolph Ziggler can get a good match out of anyone. I'm just on about general segments and shit.
Okay.
He was fucking awful. So Zack Ryder fucked himself.
To be fair, ultra-talented. It was with Cena and Kane, and they weren't really tearing that house down as well.
His acting was just terrible. That was the worst part of his character. It was such a turnoff. Him struggling to get over was the best part of Zack Ryder.
You know, actually, I was never really a fan of his show.
It was just lots of bro puns. It got old real fast.
Like, it was cute. Like, see this fence? I'm trying to get over. Ha! Okay, then he got over, and then he sucked, and then no one cared anymore. That was the Zack Ryder issue. Dolph Ziggler is actually talented. I'm not sold on his promos, but he offers a lot.
So you think he is going to continue? You think after all the start and stop pushes he's had, this is going to be the one?
I think this is the final shot.
So you think if this one doesn't work, he's done?
I think he's relegated to mid-card forever if this doesn't work out.
You guys agree?
I think so as well, for the most part, but there is something different about this push that he's getting right now that makes me lead to believe that this is not going to be like everything else. One thing that's different between this one and the other ones is that he has that John Cena seal of approval, which, you know, which could be good, but Ryder had it and Ryback had it at one point, and, you know, Ryback was in the dumps for a year after that. So that and Ryder, you know, he's not on TV anymore. If he's on TV, it's with Rusev, and apparently Rusev doesn't like him. So you know how that goes. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Ziggler. I'm all for it. Also, a big difference between Ziggler and Ryder is that Ziggler has had the fan support for a long time now. It's been a year, maybe two, that, you know, he's been having the really good reactions. Even when he was a heel, he would have the good reactions. It's just that WWE never did anything with him. And now that he is, the fans are still behind him, man. I'm still behind him, so I think that they can do something with him. It's just going to be, I don't know what they can do with him when it comes to WrestleMania time, because I don't really know what they can do with him. I don't know who he could face, but we'll cross that juncture when they need to.
Talk to me about it.
Go ahead, Tony.
February is where everything changes. TLC is looking like it is kind of a placeholder pay-per-view. I mean, they really fucked up a lot of stuff tonight, I think, in particular with announcing the Seth Rollins match, because now that means that we're not getting the Randy Orton-Seth Rollins feud, so we're either going to get that at Royal Rumble is where it's going to start, or not at all. They're not going to drag that out until WrestleMania. It's not like Orton's going to be out until February. And the idea of the number one contender spot, that changes things up. If it's not John Cena, if it is John Cena, when did he get the title shot? You know, I mean, we can talk about a lot of the things that are fucked up with that, on and on and on. But how they book the championship situation is going to determine how Dolph Ziggler goes for the rest of the year. Because if they have a plan in mind where Ziggler is kind of like, we'll figure it out later, and then a couple more people come back and they get distracted, WWE has proven time and time again that when they get distracted, people fall by the wayside. And somebody is going to get thrown down. Rowan is not going to be as big of a star come WrestleMania. I'm assuming that he's just going to kind of fizzle out a little bit. Ryback, I don't know about that. Ziggler, I don't know about that either. And they'll be fine for the Royal Rumble, where they're sort of in the mix and still doing well enough based off of Survivor Series, where they're kind of like big names in that. But man, this new pay-per-view that they're going to, in between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, that's going to fuck with a lot of shit. They're going to be scrambling to figure out how to promote it. They're going to be scrambling to figure out what matches they could put on that don't include Brock Lesnar, because he apparently can't do anything. They're going to either fill it with somebody like a Dolph Ziggler that they can give a good spot to, and then that's going to keep them fresh in the same mindset where they need to depend on him, or we're going to get like a Daniel Bryan and a Roman Reigns and all these other people returning, and they're going to go, well, let's give them a match, and this person a match, and this person a match, and why don't we just give Ziggler a tag match or something? And then come WrestleMania, they're not going to have any plan set, because it's going to be three matches that they really build it around, a Triple H match, a title match, and whatever. And then Ziggler's going to get thrown into some multi-man tag match again or something. And if that's the case, he's back to mid-card, upper mid-card status. But I don't think you can really compare it to the Zack Ryder thing, because as much as Zack Ryder, I think, was a little bit screwed in his big push, Ziggler's leaps and bounds above Ryder. And WWE's proven in the past that they like Ryder enough to give him a couple shots here and there. He's won the World Heavyweight title a couple times, and the fact that he's won that a couple times means he's more likely to win it again.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I don't know if he's going to win it now that we have the single title. I wouldn't expect that. We got Wazili in the chat room saying Ziggler is going to join the New Day. And actually, I think that transitions me nicely into something else I kind of want to talk about that's relevant with the current day product, and that is the New Day stable, who they kept promoting week after week after week. And then last week, we finally got the promo saying, coming next week on Raw. Well, fuck that shit. We're going to debut them on SmackDown instead. And I didn't watch, but apparently tonight they were booked to lose?
Kind of. They won and lost. It was a tag team turmoil match, and they won the first bull and then lost the second one.
Okay.
Yeah, it was stupid.
Yeah, they got distracted by that gold dust, you know? It's a feud between them and the Star Gold.
So the New Day is going to feud with Stardust and Gold Dust?
And that's what it looks like. They eliminated those two, but then after they came back out and like distracted them, and I think, what was it, Tyson Kidd got a roll-up or something like that?
Uh-huh. They're sick of the gold men keeping them down.
So who won the turmoil tournament then?
Usos.
So the Usos are number one contenders?
Yeah, yeah, that's like the 20th time.
Okay.
Can the Usos fuck off?
They really just need some time away, because I like the Usos. I was really into them at one point, but they're just so cold right now. Like they could use some time away.
But what do you mean? They included Naomi as part of the Usos thing, and the Uso and did one they? Of those Usos. Yeah, they did a backstage segment with Miz and Mizdow, and Miz was talking about how Naomi was a good twerker, and he gave her a card for his agent or something like that, and to get in touch with her about doing stuff in Hollywood. And then while Miz was on commentary later, one of the Usos came out and just bitch slapped him because they're like, don't talk to my wife. So yeah, that happened.
Basically, yeah. Miz went, that ass.
Yeah,
and then gave her a card, and then Sandow gave her a fake card.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Oh, and then The damn Bull came out of nowhere and took a title for no fucking reason.
Oh.
Like, I didn't understand it.
Creepers on the Radar is going to bring on your favorite topic, guys. A little scarceness is fine, but at this point, I've forgotten Lesnar has done anything this year.
Up, up, oh my God, he got AEW on every show. Shut up, Lego.
Oh, and actually, so that would have brought the same topic up.
So what do you got to say about that, guys? Huh?
About the Brock Lesnar? Well, at this point, I don't even fucking care. It is what it is. I've dealt with it, and it is what it is. It's like the CM Punk thing. I'll get over it. But Mango might be like, oh, man, he needs to be there still, which I do believe he should at least appear on Raw. He hasn't been on Raw in a couple months.
He's going to be on next week, all the week after. One of the two.
Well, is he defending at TLC?
Who knows? That's why you have to tune into Monday Night.
The one thing I don't get is that they made Daniel Bryan get rid of the title. He had to vacate the title, but Brock Lesnar hasn't done any, been on Raw in 2 months, and they haven't done it. That's the only thing I'll complain about with the whole Brock Lesnar situation. Other than that, it is what it is now.
They knew what they was getting themselves into with Brock, and it makes sense with Brock Lesnar. It doesn't with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, of course.
Scraggly beard goat. So
I'll gouge people's eyes out.
Yeah, what a prick.
Yeah, fuck him.
I saw a really funny kayfabe news article that was like, instead of being required to defend their title every 30 days, champions are now only required to defend it every 300 days.
You see?
Every 30 months.
Makes, you know.
Yep. So did they reveal who the anonymous GM was tonight?
Oh, at one point, actually, Cena went up to that computer and shut it. Not with Big Show's gun. He took the lid of it and he closed it. The GM is going to be there next week. The anonymous one will, at least. It's going to be a recurring thing. At least I think it is.
Wait, I thought Seth Green was doing it because he's hosting the Slam. Isn't he going to be the general manager?
No, I think he's just hosting, I believe. Who knows? I mean, Larry the Cable Guy didn't host. Wasn't the GM, even though he hosted Raw last week, so...
I'm glad they're bringing Seth back. I like him.
When did he host Raw?
He was first guest host.
And he actually did a very good job. And
when was that?
It was a while ago. It was back when Orton was still leading the legacy. It was Orton, Cody Rhodes, and Ted DiBiase versus John Cena. I think Sheamus and Seth Green.
Oh, God, that's like 2009, man. Shoot. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't watch the episode, but you guys said it was good, and I've seen other people like, oh, man, it's Seth Green. I mean, I like the guy. I like his stuff he does for TV, so good. Can't wait to see it.
Oh, God, Kevin Hart's going to come back soon.
Ah, fuck.
Ah, God damn. Wait, is it, what's that show he did, Be a Man Theory or something like that?
And is it, that means we'll have to deal with Jesse Jackson again and those stupid racing guys.
Ugh. You got a race guy and a racing guy.
I don't know, guys. Is there anything else to talk about tonight?
No.
They said that Eric Rowan has an IQ of like 140 or some shit.
142. He was completing a Rubik's Cube when Tom Phillips was interviewing him. He did complete the Rubik's Cube. And then but all the words he said was, he's a bully.
He doesn't like bullies.
Yeah, he doesn't like bullies. He has 142 IQ, and he can't say more than four words at a time.
So he's like, what's that term they have for people who are like, they think they're stupid.
Rain Man.
Like geniuses.
Rain Man.
Idiot Savant.
Idiot Savant, yeah.
Well, they're calling him Big Red.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
No, he's a big red monster. The big red is a completely different thing. Come on.
Wasn't big red also a gum?
No, it still is a gum. I get it on occasion. Cinnamon flavored. I love it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Eric
Riveting.
This is good radio, gentlemen.
People will be like, you guys listened to that Raw post show where the one guy talked about how he like cinnamon gum and they didn't talk about Raw?
Wait, are we talking about Emmer?
That tumbleweed.
All right, guys. I think there's only one thing left to do, and that is bring on another caller.
Who is it? Fill the void.
Fill that silence.
Well, we are going to fill the void on the radio, and we're going to do that with a caller from 412. You know who he is. He's JD from Pittsburgh.
It is JD.
Keep singing, Drew.
Words. JD,
guys,
there?
What's going on? Yeah, I'm here, guys. Better late than ever, though, but I'm here.
JD, it's nice to see you.
How you doing, dude?
You, actually.
Good, guys. How was your holiday?
Absolutely tremendous.
Lots of good turkey. I mean, I had to work because I work in retail, which sucked, but I still got to get my fill in. Got my stuff in, got my mashed taters, got my chocolate cream pie, so it was all good.
I think the most important thing is you got your PS4, though. That's the important thing now.
Yes, the PS4 is so good. Even though it took forever to get here. Yeah, Drew just needs to get his dad to get one now.
I got a good story from
I'll tell you what, though. There is not much to talk about this shitty Raw tonight. I mean, it was a piece of shit in Tulsa tonight. I mean, it was really bad, to say the least. I mean, there was nothing exciting about it, if you ask me. So, I mean, real quick, just high point, low point, but before we get into the CM Punk talk, and you guys have been talking about it all night, however, I'm going to get my 2 cents in on this, however. Best match of the night, however, you're going to call it the best match. I hate to say it was the tag team turmoil. The worst match of the night was the whole Divas affair, if you ask me. Just absolutely pathetic in every sense of the word. I mean, it was just a joke, and then, like Drew and you guys said, next week we've got Seth Green hosting the goddamn freaking Slammy Awards from Greenville, South Carolina, where obviously you're going to have, I mean, there was talk that Brock Lesnar was going to be there. Now apparently Brock the Penis Boy Lesnar is not going to be there because he decided to bag at the last minute show once again. He won't show up for anything because he has no balls for showing up at a big event like that, however, and hasn't shown up on TV in a couple months, so go figure. But as far as the whole Punk thing goes, I haven't had a chance to listen to it, however, yet, but I did read some of the stuff online, and I've read some different columns from different people about it, and I'm going to put my spin onto this matter before we get into Ask JD anything. I mean, Punk, in my opinion, however, had a lot to say about that interview. In my opinion, I mean, I agree with what mostly a lot of the things he said. I mean, personally, WWE found a way to really F him over and have certain people basically, instead of Punk, however, promise him this and that, however, and it was because certain people were kissing Triple H's ass, however, and like Randy Orton, Batista, all those guys, however, now Seth Rollins, of course, being the biggest ass kisser of them all, mind you, when he isn't having his goons, J&J security with him. But no, I mean, I think Punk had a legitimate gripe, however, if you ask me, however, I mean, supposedly Vince talked about tonight a little bit on the podcast I heard with Austin. He didn't talk about it a whole hell of a lot, but he did talk about it, though. But, I mean, I thought we were going to hear Punk maybe return, however, but after what he said and after what Triple H said, however, along with Stephanie after the interview, saying that he wanted to, quote, kill CM Punk, however, because of the comments made, however, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's hard to say who's to blame here. I mean, personally, I think, like I said, Punk has a lot to say, and he has a legitimate beef. But at the same time, Triple H, however, with his infidelism, says, oh, I'm going to kill you, CM Punk, for making those remarks about my company, blah, blah, blah. Well, excuse me. Last I checked, I think, Triple H, it's your father-in-law's company still. It's not your company, per se. You're only a little majority owner part of it, however. And until Vince croaks, however, you're not the full head honcho of the company yet. So, I mean, it's just, it's hard to say who's to blame in this situation, you know, but like I said, I mean, I thought we were going to see Punk back, and I've been talking for weeks and months to you guys about him coming back, but after what I heard in the interview and after what happened in the follow-up, however, it looks like we're not going to see him back anytime soon.
Yeah, well, I guess it probably all works out for everyone because it doesn't seem like he wants to be there, and I can't imagine they want him there, so maybe it's for the best.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, I guess we're ready for Ask JD Anything, aren't we?
Yeah, sure. I got one question out of the chat room here, and you dropped another bombshell on everyone here. Silent Wind of Doom wants to know, what does the penis boy mean?
the penis boy means that certain people are obviously kissing Triple H and sucking him off at every turn, like Seth Rollins, and certain people sucking him off by just basically giving them every opportunity, like Rusev stealing the U.S. title, like Seth Rollins, all those people giving Triple H head because basically they deserve that opportunity.
Oh, I thought it was because of the big phallus on his chest.
No, it's just certain people kissing his ass and blowing him in the locker room, basically.
Now, do you really think that's going on? Or is this a fantasy?
How many people kiss Triple H's ass just to get their opportunity and they screw everyone else over? Seriously. You mentioned Ziggler, and you talked about Ziggler within the last 10 or 15, 20 minutes, even when Jeff was on, and you should have kept me on when Jeff was on, because he and I would have definitely had a good debate about this whole thing, as we always do. But, I mean, certain people, however, always find a way to get screwed over, you know? I mean, like I said, it's time, you got these guys like Orton and Batista and Undertaker, they're getting up there in years, and that's understandable. But, like I said, it's time to bring up the future. It's time to bring up the NXT generation, shall we say.
So, Creepers Under Radar asks a follow-up question. Who isn't a suck-off, then?
Oh, let's see. Who isn't a suck-off, however? I would say right now, however, really, I mean, one of the guys who I wouldn't say is a suck-off, however, because he's going about doing his thing, how I'm going out there and stealing the show every night, is Ziggler. I mean, personally, I mean, he really has said in interviews he does not like Triple H, so I would say he's one. Swagger, I would say, maybe might be another. Three, it's hard to say, maybe Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. So I would say those four would probably be not the big suck-offs. I mean, they're going out there kicking ass, taking names with it, and just stealing the show every night and getting the crowd be supportive of them.
Tony, you got anything for SJD this week?
Let's see here. Well, you got a lot of nicknames for a lot of the different wrestlers. What's your nickname or pet name or whatever for your girlfriend?
I just thought she's just my very special lady. I don't call her any pet names or anything like that. She's just very special, near and dear to my heart. In fact, we're going off my birthday in a couple weeks, which is 2 weeks from today.
Well, you don't call her special. She could take that the wrong way.
No, she's special. No, she's special. Believe me, she's very special to me. We've been together a year now, and she means a lot to me. She was here for Thanksgiving, and believe me, we had a nice time in my house for Thanksgiving.
Good for you.
You should call her lovely. Chicks dig that.
Oh, she's lovely. I mean, I love her to death. She's everything to me. She means a lot to me. She's very near and dear to my heart. She's always in my heart every day.
Wait, you got anything for SJD?
All right, Lego. Don't push down this one. You've got a list from who's your favorite host to the one you hate the most. And I got a feeling I know who's going to be on.
Well, we know Mike's number one. Wago, you're two. And Tony's number three. So there you go.
Wow, that actually surprised me. Okay.
And Drew doesn't even get mentioned.
Drew gets four. Sorry, Drew. Let me ask you guys this. We've talked about this in the last few weeks. We even talked about it a little last week too. They did not reveal the anonymous GM tonight. That's understandable. But in the end, who do you think it's going to turn out to be?
Hornswoggle, it's already revealed.
I hope they take a different route this time. If they just end up being Hornswoggle again, I'll be pissed. Who I would like to see it be? I've heard a lot of people mention Paul Heyman. I think that would be an interesting choice. Yeah. I honestly would love to see the return of William Regal.
I agree. That's not bad. You know what? I'll go one better with you. Regal's a good name to choose. I'm going to say Bad News Barrett.
Ooh. But I want him to wrestle.
I do too, but I don't think he's been cleared just yet, although I think he would be good in the GM role, however. But as I've said to you guys in the past, I do not want fucking John Laurinaitis on my fucking TV again. I want your people power. I'm back. I'm Mr. Laurinaitis. I'm Mr. Cloud Shoes. We don't need to hear his freaking douchebag face. We don't need to see his douchebag face. We don't need to hear his douchebag voice.
All right, JD, I got a non-wrestling question for you here. We just earlier today, we finished up another show we do called the Four Reel Movie Club, where we talk about different movies surrounding a different theme. Our theme for this one was Thanksgiving movies. What's your favorite movie involving Thanksgiving?
Oh, wow. I mean, you can't argue. It's a Christmas movie, too. The Griswolds, Christmas Vacation, of course. And number two, you can't go wrong with this one either, A Christmas Story. The scene with the Bumpus the Sound Team, the turkey at the end of the movie. Classic.
All right, JD. We're going to start wrapping this show up soon. So thanks for calling as always, man. You have a good night.
All right, boys. Have a good week. I'll talk to you next Monday night.
Oh, no, but I got a question. No. Oh, God damn. No, no. The show is ruined.
Oh, yours anyway.
I know. At least I'm bitching over, like, Miguel and Sean.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving movie? Oh, these two Christmas movies.
Oh, I don't know all the way. Guys, but every Thanksgiving, okay, we all gather around to watch Santa Claus.
Oh, my God.
Independence Day, my favorite Thanksgiving movie.
I'm done. I'm just done.
You want to go back on your PS4, you fucking loser.
I just don't have anything more to talk about. But we went through the CM Punk thing. I probably have a couple more points, but we'll be talking about this more on the hot tags. I'm sure we'll dive into it for a
probably
little bit.
Probably not. A referee will get injured and Tony will bump it.
Maybe someone who wasn't even on NXT yet will get released.
Yeah, maybe we'll be lucky, and maybe somebody who is barely on NXT will steal Batista's lunchbox and get injured.
It's not what the tube says. You could run down Raw. Fuck that shit.
Are we doing a good, bad, and ugly? Or...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the ugly is the whole fucking show, right?
There was a good. There was this like commercial that I watched. I don't remember what it was about, but I was interested.
Well, there you go. Yeah, let's just cut to the plugs, gentlemen. Drew, why don't you go first?
Well then, shoot, plugs. Yeah. Okay. Oh, the Drew Crew. And yeah.
Tony.
Fuck Tony Sykes and fuck
shut up, Drew.
Team
shut up, Drew.
And I like yeah. So okay.
Tony.
All right, guys, go to smartoutmoment.com. Pay attention to the next episode of Smack Talk, where we will be talking about whatever we're going to talk about. We haven't quite decided about the main event yet for that episode. And also start thinking of what you're going to end up doing for the end of the year awards, because that's going to be coming up sooner than you think. And we've got about 30-something categories. Among them, what you can vote for is your favorite and your least favorite outro of the year, your favorite and least favorite did you know, guest hosts of the year, recurring jokes that we've made, everything from Time Cow to Rusev Potato, lots of different stuff to incorporate you guys in there. And then, of course, the wrestling side of things, because Slammy Awards are next week, but, you know, we've got more and I think better categories for the Smart Out Moment Awards. So stay tuned, smartoutmoment.com. Go to fanboysanonymous.com for everything else in the geek culture side of things. And follow Tony Mango and A Mango Tree all over the internet.
Shadow of the Doom says, Day said last week's Smack Talk was obviously the best host. All right, Wago, round us out.
Well, Ferris just asked me, when am I going to post another YouTube video? And I'm planning on doing that on a weekly basis. That's over on youtube.com/StephenWago. Thanks for checking that out. And also, I've just got the iTunes part set up, so soon I'm going to be available on iTunes for Wago Rants. In addition to that, you can check out udmma.com for all your MMA needs. That's udmma.com, facebook.com/udmma, and twitter.com/udmma. And also, check out Addicted to Anime here on Megapowers Radio, where next episode is going to be on Death Notes. For more information on that, go to facebook.com/addictedanimefans.
All right, folks, we hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, be here every single Monday night following Raw, where we might actually talk about Raw on Mega Powers Radio's Raw post-show. If you can't join us here live, you can find us archived on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, and SmartOutMoment.com. Folks, if you want to support the show, besides just subscribing to us, please head to iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, and leave a review about us. That's going to help us get some more ears on us, help spread the name of the show, and we'd really appreciate you doing so. And I also want to take this opportunity, you've heard me talking about my PS4, to tell y'all out there, add me on the PlayStation Network if you want to play with me. I have WWE 2K15 coming in for the system. I have Grand Theft Auto 5. I have Last of Us Remastered, and I'm only going to be getting more games going on forward. So add me on there. My ID is Big Show's Gun.
Bring That's right. Away.
My username on there is now Big Show's Gun. So look
and
me up.
Me, Stephen Wago.
But add me first, Big Show's Gun.
Come on, add me.
No, add me.
Add me.
Add me. Add me.